All right, so we're holding on Testament Aleph about, holding on Testament Aleph about a third of the way down the, about a third of the way down the Omud. Line begins Avora. All right, line begins Avora, about a third of the way down the Omud. Okay, we're in the middle of figuring out like this.
Yeah.
Okay, we're in the middle of figuring out like this. We said that a Kodin Pesach that's shechted any other time during the year becomes a Shlomo. So we're in the middle of figuring out, but how do we know from the, fine, we learned from the Pesukim that it can become a Shlomim, but how do we know that if it's not, that if it's shechted like some other Korban, it doesn't become that other Korban? So we went through, what about maybe it becomes a
if
it's shechted having in mind that it's a Shlomim, then it becomes a Shlomim. But how do we know if it's shechted having in mind it's an Ola, let's say it doesn't become an Ola. So we went through Ola, Chatos, Osham. We said, okay, but it has to be something that's Necholim, Bechol Adam, or something that's eaten by anybody, or something that's Kodshim Kalim. Okay, we said, what about maybe it becomes Meiser, if you shecht it as Meiser? We said, no, we have a pasuk that says that only the tenth one can be Meiser. What about Bechor? We said, we have a Gzeira Shava from Meiser. Okay. So, Ve'ema Shachter L'Shim Tzmura, L'Hevi Tzmura, maybe we should say that if the Korban Pesach is shechted having in mind that it's a Tzmura, then it would become a Tzmura.
Bechor, we said, no, because what?
Bechor, we said, because we have a pasuk, because we learn, no, because we learn by Gzeira Shava from Meiser. Meiser,
oh, yeah,
we said, because it says Hasidu Yerkodesh. But how do we know that it doesn't apply to? And by the way, when we said before about maybe it becomes a chatas and an asham, the question is anyway, how could it conceivably even become? No, in other words, if it was shechted as a chatas, you could argue maybe it becomes a chatas. How could we even think that anyway? A chatas for a commoner is a female animal. A korban pesach is a male animal. Okay, so the rishonim give. So the Rishonim give the answer that, okay, but nevertheless, though, the fact of the matter is, if we had some kind of reason, if we didn't have a process telling us otherwise, you would say, okay, this is an exception. Normally a chassis is a female sheep or a female goat, but here the Torah is making an exception.
For a commoner,
we said it's always a female. Yeah, we said for a king, it's for a king, we learned it's a male in Herodias. Okay. Fine, so maybe we should say, maybe we should say that if this ex-Korban Pesach was shechted having in mind that it's a tmura, maybe it should have the din of a tmura, and a tmura is when you exchange one animal for another. Most of the time when you take an animal that's supposed to be a korban and you exchange it for another one, you're not allowed to do it. You get, a person gets malchus for it, but the original and the tmura both become kurdish, and in most cases we bring the tmura as a korban as well.
But sometimes you have to have it in mind that it would be a tmura before you shechted it.
Yeah, well, you're saying this is tmura for this. Yeah. So maybe by the same logic, we would say that if a person shechted the korban, this ex-korban pesach, having in mind that it's a tmura, then maybe it has a din of a tmura. L'maychuch, and what would be, as far as what halachos would we say it has a din of a tmura? L'milkale, number one, you would say you would get malchus because you created a tmura. Because the pasuk says you're not allowed to be meimur, you're not allowed to exchange, and if you do, you get malchus. So okay, here we didn't actually make a tmura, but nevertheless, he brought about that there exists now something that has the name tmura on it. Inam, ilamekam alei b'lei machav alei gol, or as we said in connection with the meiser, that it would also mean that you'd have the issur that you're not allowed to sell it, because by tmura also it says that by tmura it also says that it shouldn't be sold or redeemed. So in other words, if a person were to do that, then he'd be over on that as well. If you sell, the same way as we said before, that if you sell the animal of Meiser, then you're also to do that, and you get Malchus, the same way over here also. Okay, the Rambam actually learns that not necessarily would you get Malchus for it, per se, so he may have had the Girsa over here, not Lamilka Ale, but Lameka Ale. Actually, by the Tumura it says, right here in the Gemara, that you would be over, not necessarily you get Malchus, but you'd be over on the din of lo yimachav lo yigol. And Tosafos points out anyway, we're talking after the animal was shechted, so it's kind of a moot point anyway. But the point is that maybe we would say that that's the relevance as far as it being a Tumura. So maybe it should be. No, Alma Mazutra, Veder of Nachman, Alma Krava Hoyahu Tumura. No, because the passage says that you can't say that this ex-Korban Pesach could possibly become a Tzmura if you shechted it having in mind that it's a Tzmura. It won't have the dinim of a Tzmura because the Pasuk says, "Hayohu u'tzmura." Say the Pasuk says, if and a Tzmura will be Kodesh, implying it's a meal. Zu Tzmura ve'enach a Tzmura. Only if is a Tzmura, not something else. You can't have an animal that should have been a Korban Pesach that instead is becoming a Tzmura if it's shechted the same Tzmura. only the actual tzmura, only when you actually say this animal instead of that one doesn't have the dinim of tzmura. No, it applies in general, any carbon. But the point is, the only way to make a tzmura is by actually saying, I'm maimer, I'm exchanging this for that. Not by saying, for example, I'm shechting this animal, having in mind that it's a tzmura. Okay. Fine. Fine, how about another possibility? Maybe we should say that this animal that should have been a korban pesach, if you're shechting it as having in mind as a toida, maybe it should have the dinim of a toida. L'mayhich, then what would be, as far as what halachos would that detail be relevant? L'atine lechem. If you said that the toida would have to be brought with the 40 loaves of bread, the 30 loaves of matzah and 10 of chametz that a toida is brought with, maybe you should say that. Ordinarily, a korban pesach becomes a shlomim. But if you shechted it specifically, having in mind that it's a toida, maybe it becomes a toida, and you'd have to bring it with bread. Yomar says, no. You can't say that logically. What's the logic to say that you should have a cake? The korban pesach itself, if this animal had been brought as an actual korban pesach, you wouldn't be bringing bread with it. You don't. Your korban pesach was just brought by itself.
Almost
obviously, you can't have chametz bread. You could have conceivably have matzah bread. But the fact is that among ordinary korbanos, aside from the korbanos of miluim, which are a special thing of their own, aside from that, of regular standard korbanos, the only types that come with bread are you have one public korban, the shtei alechem, and you have the shtei alechem and the two shalmei tzibur that come with them. And among private korbanos, you have the ram of a nazir, and you have a korban toda. Those are all the types of korbanos that come with bread. A korban pesach is not one of them. So what's the logic that the korban pesach shouldn't require bread? But you're saying if you have a leftover korban pesach and you're using it as a toida, then it should require bread. It doesn't make sense.
The initial one doesn't, and
it's more of wood. Not a tzmura, but that you're shechting it, having in mind. That's a toida, right? Yeah. Okay, the Gemara says, well, ihochi, okay, but if you're going to use that logic, then you can argue the same thing. When we say that a Pesach instead becomes a Shlomim, then you can argue the same kind of thing. How do you have a case where the Pesach itself does not require the Sochim? You don't have the Korban Pesach, is not one of the Korbanos that requires with it, you don't bring with it flour and wine and oil as a Korban Mincha and as libations. And yet you're saying that if it's left over and you're bringing it as a shlomim, it does require nesachim because it has all the dinim of a shlomim. A shlomim requires nesachim. So if you're going to say that it is not logical that it should require lechem because not a toida, then it shouldn't require nesachim either because not a shlomim. Because how does it go from not needing nesachim to needing nesachim? Yeah. Now the answer is I'm not a halachic commune. Yeah, but what we're arguing is like this. We're not saying that before it didn't need something and now it needs something. What we're saying is a little bit different. How do you have a scenario that the moisture of a toda itself should not require lechem? Namely, you have a case like
the residue
of a toda. So the example Rashi gives is the typical example where a person set aside an animal to bring his korban toda. The animal got lost. So he took a different one and was maxed with it instead. Now the first one turns up. The din is the second one still has to be brought as a toida. However, unlike a regular toida, it does not come with bread. So there you have moiser toida, an animal that's left over from having it was supposed to have been a toida, and instead now it's being brought as a secondary. No, so that's the point. So you don't bring it with bread. The moiser de astrolo ma'alma, but you're going to argue that this moiser, which comes where it wasn't originally even meant to be a toida at all, it's meant to be a whole different type of korban, boya lechem. What's the logic that it should require bread? The point isn't, in other words, how you're transforming a pesach that doesn't need something into a toida that does need something. The question is, we see even within a toida itself, that an animal that was originally supposed to be a toida and then was lost and later on found doesn't come with lechem. What's the logic, therefore, to say that an animal that was supposed to be... A regular toida needs lechem. The moiser toida does not. So what's the logic that a pesach, which is being shechted as a toida, that it should require lechem, it's not logical. So you can't say that. So therefore we've eliminated all the possibilities. So therefore, the only thing that a pesach can become, therefore, is a shlomim. And even if you had in mind, it has to be some kind of kodshim kalim that can be eaten by anybody. And we went through the possibilities. It can't become a bukhur, it can't become a maaser, it can't become a tmura, can't become a toida. So that's it. The only kodshim kalim that can be eaten by everybody is a shlomim. So that's it. By elimination, we found that all it can be is a shlomim, regardless what it was shechted as. Okay, but now we have to go back to the original proof. the original proof at the beginning of the Sogya on Chesama days, Avur de Shmuel that brought a pasuk as follows. Where do we know that this leftover Pesach becomes Shlomim in the first place? He learned it from the pasuk. Be'im min atzon korbani lezevach Shlomim Hashem. Meaning he touched it to mean if it's a korban that was supposed to originally be from any kind of the flock, namely sheep or goat, and instead it becomes a zevach shlomim, namely that would be a korban Pesach. So now we're going to ask, who says that a korban Pesach is not the only kind of korban that's brought from
he
the
said
flock?
Initially
we said that what the pasuk is implying is that if you're bringing a korban, which is the type of korban that's only coming from a flock, only coming from sheep and goats, no other type of animal can be used as a korban, and if you miss the opportunity, then you're bringing it as a shlom. But now we have to revisit that. Who says that's talking about the korban Pesach at all? You have another kind of korban that's brought from the flock, that's brought from sheep or goats. Well, let's look inside. Maskis l'Rav Yehma Breder of Hillel, umi ma'idim amoyta Pesach. Who says b'chlal that the pasuk is talking about the case of Moisa Pesach, this case of a Pesach that was left over and not shechted in the proper time? Dilma b'moisa osham k'tiv. Maybe the pasuk is talking about the leftover osham. Maybe you have a similar example. You have a person was supposed to bring an osham. He lost the animal, so he brought a different one instead. Then the original one turned up. Now we know the halacha is, as we mentioned earlier, that the yirad shi'istoy, you leave it to graze until it develops a mum. But maybe the pasuk is implying, given that an osham also is something from the flocks. Certain kinds of ashamis are rams. Most kinds of ashamis are rams, actually, and a ram is an adult sheep. So therefore, Dilma b'moisa osham. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that if you have a leftover osham, that an osham also is a ram. So therefore, it's also not something that comes from cattle. Maybe what it means is a moisa osham becomes a shlomim. How do you know? It's talking about the Pesach before. The answer is Amar Rav. A ram is an adult male sheep. Omar Rava, so Rava says no, because Omar Krav, the im min atzon korbanu lezevach shlomim. Fine, but the pasuk says if from the flocks is his korban and it becomes a zevach shlomim, meaning dover hashava b'chol atzon. You have to be talking about a kind of korban which could come from any type of animal within the flock, meaning both sheep and goats.
As opposed to a ram,
is an adult sheep. You don't bring an adult goat. You don't bring a goat child. You don't bring a goat, whether a baby goat or an adult goat, as an osham. An osham is only a ram.
So what's wrong with a ram?
So nothing's wrong, but the point is it's not all the different types of tzoyin. Tzoyin is a generic term that means sheep and goats. Here we have a pasuk that says, im min atzoyin korbanu. It means it has to be something that could come from any type of tzoyin, sheep or goat, not just adult sheep, which are rams. Yeah. Okay, Maskifor of Oven Bachir, the Tamer of Oven Bachahana, B'chol Asar At Amrit Min Lohoti. We always, it's throughout Shas, we always say whenever you have the word min, it comes to exclude something. V'kan min l'rabos. Here, what are you telling me? The word min hatsoyin means it can be from any type of sheep? Just the opposite. The word min should be an exclusion. That it means only certain types of soyin, which would mean maybe only ram. Yeah. Amr of Mani, Hochanami, so Mani answers yes, but over here, min lohoti. The word min over here is still coming to be a mute, because after all, the Korban Pesach, it's true, it can be either sheep or goats, but it can't just be any kind. Deloy osi ben shtei shonim, a Pesach cannot be an animal that's in its second year, it has to be in its first year. Deloy osi ben a keva, and also it can't be a female animal. So in other words, what you have is like this, when you have, as the Pesach is saying, im min hatzoyin korbano, what it comes out, the min tells us that it's only certain things within the flock, namely it has to be a male within the first year, but soin means generically anything from a flock, sheep or goats. So therefore, but the point is that what it comes out, you come out with it's describing a korban. So therefore, it's describing a korban, which on the one hand can come from either sheep or goats, but on the other hand, only certain types within sheep or goats, only a male and only within its first year, because of min. The only one that fits is the korban Pesach. It wouldn't fit the osham, because the osham only comes from one species of animal. It only comes from rams, which are adult sheep. It doesn't come from goats. Okay. Fine. If you want to sit down and lay out, then fine. Okay. All right. Fine. Okay, so bring over a Gemara. Bring over a Gemara. So tzoyin, no, you're coming.
Inclusive of
tzoyin and cattle, goat, sheep, and goat.
Within that itself, we're not the word
baby sheep or a baby goat. You have keveth. Keveth is a specific word for a baby sheep or aisle for an adult. But the word son is a generic word that means an
aisle
and
a ram.
Because an aisle is an adult. And an aisle is an adult animal. The definition of it, we'll learn later on in the Masechta, the definition is an aisle is an animal 13 months old or older. Below 12 months is considered a keveth, considered a lamb. Above 13 months is considered an aisle, a ram. In between, during the 13th month, the Gemara calls it a palgus. It's like neither here nor there. Palgus. I don't know if it comes from the word palga or what it is exactly. I think I've also seen an explanation that comes from a Greek word. Whatever it is, the point is it's neither a sheep, it's neither a lamb nor a ram in halacha. All right, fine. So therefore, so that's it. So the min tells us that it's only certain types, only a male and only within the first year. Soin though means both species, sheep and goat. So the only one that fits is the Karban Pesach. Okay, mask for Rav Chana b'Gadta. Fine, but now Rav Chana b'Gadta asks on this. What are you talking about? How can you possibly say that this pasuk is referring to a leftover Pesach? Because what does it say over there by the Shlomim? It starts out by saying that a Shlomim can be from any of the three species. It can be cattle, it can be sheep, or it can be goats. So it starts off by saying what the din is. If you bring a shlomim from cattle, then what you do, what are the exact procedures. Then it continues and says, then it says this pasuk, the im min atzarim korbanu l'zevach shlomim. Then it continues. In the next pasuk, if he's bringing a kesev, if he's bringing a lamb, then here are the dinim. And if he's bringing a few psukim later, v'im a's, and if he's bringing a goat, so therefore, so obviously, it's not talking about a leftover Pesach, because we already know from elsewhere in the Torah that a Korban Pesach can be a sheep or a goat. So the Torah wouldn't need to be repeating over here. You have to say that the Torah is just telling us over here, it's in context, the Torah is telling us just what kind of animals can a shlomim be. It's not teaching us anything about a Korban Pesach. You're telling me that the pasuk over here, the im min atzarim korbanu, is teaching us about the Korban Pesach, but since the following psukim after that specifically break down and say, if it's a lamb, then if it's a sheep, then here are the dinim, and if it's a goat, then here are the dinim, that means it's talking about the actual Korban Shlomim. It's not talking, because it doesn't need to be telling us what a Korban Pesach comes from. We know that already.
Before, you wanted to say that it talks about the Korban Pesach.
We thought that it's talking about the Korban Pesach. I'm telling us it becomes a shlomim. But we see, since the pasuk continues over there and says, if it's a sheep versus if it's a goat, that means we're obviously not talking about the Korban Pesach, because we know, though, that a Korban Pesach can be from those things. Okay, the answer is, Hahumi Boyle Lechaditanya. Yes, but those psukim that mention specifically the sheep and specifically the goats, we need those to teach us the din that it says in the following braisa. First of all, keves, or kesev, really, when it mentions specifically the sheep, and it describes over there how if you bring a sheep as a korban shlomim, so you have, besides all the regular fat that's brought from any kind of animal that's brought as a korban, in addition, from a sheep, you have the alga, which is the fat tail, because you have breeds of sheep that store fat in their tails. That's the breed of sheep that they would typically bring as korbanah, so therefore you have that extra piece that has to be brought. And so when the pasuk says, Keves or Kesev, Lurabas is a Pesach la'alya. That comes to add, you should know that the Korban Pesach, also the alya, the tail, has to be brought together with the other emurim, together with the other fats. Because otherwise, when the Torah tells us how a Korban Pesach is brought, it doesn't say anything about what fats are brought. So now the word im keves teaches us that the same thing applies when a sheep is being brought as a Korban Pesach. That's just from the word keves. Im keves, and when it says if a keves, then that adds something extra. That comes to add also the case where a Pesach, where the year has passed, where the animal is over a year old, and therefore it can't be brought as a korban Pesach anymore, so that the same din applies. That you still bring so it's not a Pesach now, it becomes a shlomim. But we're saying that the same thing applies. It's a keves of shlomim, and therefore you have to bring the aliyah. And ushlomim haboyim matnas Pesach. Also, it includes the shlomim that comes in connection with the Korban Pesach, la'alya, that both of those, also the alya, the tail, has to be brought on the Mizbeach. Sorry, I went back a couple of lines. L'chol mitzvah shlamim, and comes to include them as far as all the mitzvahs of shlamim. In other words, they're considered a shlamim for all purposes. Sheyitinu smicha, just like a regular shlamim, they require the person has to lean his hands on them, unlike the pesach or nesachim, they need to be brought with the flour and wine and oil. Or tunufas kalz v'shoyek, and the chest and thigh after, and the chest and the leg have to be waved before you give them to the kohen. By the way, what does it mean? What do we mean by shlamim haboyim machnas pesach? So Rashi explains that actually what it means is, Rashi mentions that what it means is the chagigas abba osir. We know that besides, in most years, besides that you bring the Korban Pesach, you bring an additional chagiga on your Dalet Nissan in order that this way your Dalet is Erev Pesach. In order that you eat that first and then you eat the Korban Pesach al hasova when you so that you fill up on that. Nowadays we have on the Seder plate, we have the Zroya to represent the Korban Pesach, and we have the Beitza to represent the Chagiga. So Rashi over here explains that that's what Shlomim Aboyim Matnas Pesach is. If it weren't for this topic, you wouldn't know that those have the din of a regular Shlomim. Other Rishonim learn, the ones that accompany the Korban Pesach. Many other Rishonim learn that what it means is, and Tosfos discusses over here, that no, what it actually means is this Moisa Pesach that we've been discussing all this time. It means this case where the animal was not brought as a Korban Pesach for one reason or another, and instead now it's being brought as a shlamim. If it weren't for this pasuk, you wouldn't know that it has all the dinim of a shlamim. You would think, as we said before on the Amud, since it was originally a Pesach, maybe it shouldn't need nesachim, for example. But no, by saying im kesev, means regardless, whatever type of sheep is being brought, as long as it's being brought as a shlamim, then it has all the dinim of a shlamim.
Including
nesachim, including smicha, etc. Okay. Then continues the Braisa. So we're back to that. No, you were thinking that because it says im kesev, and if you were thinking because it says im kesev and im eis, that means that it's talking only about the shlomim, that it's not talking about the Korban Pesach at all. But no, we have a Braisa that actually tells us that no, just the opposite.
Yes, yes.
The word keves, it's true. The pasuk, you're arguing is maybe not talking about the Korban Pesach. It is talking about the Korban Pesach, as we said before. Then we have specifically that the following sukkim, which mentions specifically a sheep versus a goat. And you're wondering, in that case, why does the pasuk need to tell us if we know already a Pesach can be from a sheep and a goat? Because it's telling us the details of what happens when a Pesach turns into a shlomim, or what happens when you have shlomim that accompany the Korban Pesach, that it has the same dinim as if it was a shlomim to begin with.
So therefore, the
does apply to the Korban Pesach, as we thought after. And true im eis, then when the pasuk continues, if he's bringing a goat, hifstikinian, that comes. Now, why again, if we're talking about this, only talking about the Korban Pesach, then why does it need to tell us? On the face of it, we know a Korban Pesach can be a goat. It's coming to break things off. Limit ala eis she'ena tuna alya, because it needs to tell us that in general, when a goat is brought as any kind of korban, regardless whether it's being brought as a shlomim or whether it's being brought as a pesach or a pesach that turns into a shlomim, either way, she'ena tuna alya, that you do not have to bring the alya, you do not bring the tail of it on the mizbeach. Only a sheep. That's why the pasuk has to list the sheep and the goat separate. Because the sheep, you have the tail, is brought on the mizbeach, and the goat is not. But therefore, it's
applies to the eis.
Right, applies to the eis, exactly.
And not to the...
Not to the kebis. But that's the point. That's why the pasuk has to list the, that's why the pasuk has to list the goat different, has to list the goat separately. So after all, we can indeed say that the pasuk v'im min ha'son korbanoi is referring to the Korban Pesach, because in fact the following spoken after it are also teaching us dinim about the Korban Pesach. They're teaching us the basic concept that the Pesach needs the aliyah brought in the first place. They're teaching us that a Pesach that turns into a shlomim also needs the aliyah brought. They're teaching us that the shlomim that accompanies the Pesach needs the aliyah brought.
Burned before everything else?
No, not before everything else. It's burned together with the other fat. When they dissect the animal, when they skin it and cut it up, and they remove the different fat,
right.
In the case of a sheep, they also remove the tail, and that's also put together with all the other fats and burnt on them.
And normally it should not.
No.
The tail would not.
No. If it's a goat, then it's not. If it's a sheep, then it is. The point is, any kind of korban, which is a sheep, where parts of it are being burnt on the mizbeach and parts of it are being eaten, the alya needs to be brought on the mizbeach. So it says it explicitly by shlomim. It also says it later on explicitly by an asham and by a chatas.
But the
that Aliyah has brought on the Mizbeach. But we wouldn't know it by the Korban Pesach were it not for the word Im Keves over here. And it were actually just from the word Keves itself. And then the Im, in addition, adds not only a Korban Pesach when it's being brought at its proper time, but even a Korban Pesach that turns into a Shlomim, or even if it's over a year old, or even the Shlomim that accompany the Pesach, etc., all have the same rules. And then why does it continue separately by mentioning separately about the goat? Because the goat doesn't have the Aliyah brought, and it needs to stress that. Okay. Fine. Okay, so far so good. However, so are you telling me that we learn this concept? You're telling me that we learn this concept that a Pesach turns into a Shlomim. You're telling me that we learn it from this pasuk that we've been quoting all this time, the Im Min Atzeren Korbanot. I have a different limit for it. Me'avur de Shmuel Nafka. We learn that actually from what Avur de Shmuel says. We're asking V'homa Hocha Nafka. We're asking, are we saying, we just said that we learn from this pasuk. We just said that we learned from the pasuk Im Keves that if the animal for the Korban Pesach ends up being over a year old, then we bring it as a Shlomim. But we don't need that limud. We already have Avur de Shmuel limud from the beginning of the Sugya. So you have that already to teach us that anything that's not brought to the Pesach automatically becomes a Shlomim. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference whether it's over a year old or not.
What's the limud?
Avodah Shmuel's limud was the imminat son korban, as we said before, a korban that's supposed to have been brought from any kind of flock, namely sheep or goats, becomes now a shlomim, and we said that's the korban pesach by elimination. But now we're trying to say that we're learning. Now we're trying to say that we're learning from that we're learning from the word im keves. We're learning from that if the pesach that if the korban pesach is over a year old, then you treat it as a shlomim. But we know that already from Avodah Shmuel's limud. And not only that, Ba'akati, and not only that, even more so, Midrav Nachman Omer Rabbav, in fact, on the side of it here, it says that usually Ba'akati in the Gemara means, and means that furthermore, but here, the Gemara means it kind of in the sense of Litaimeh, you, according to your own Svara, you're asking how we're learning from this Braisa, how this Braisa is learning from Im Keves. You can ask yourself a better question. Why do we even need a Avodah Shmuel's limud? We have a different limud. Yeah. So we can learn it from what Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Bavur. The Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bavur, Minayim Amoisa Pesach Shekar of Shlomim. How do we know that a leftover Korban Pesach is broader than Shlomim? Shenema, as the pasuk says in Parashas Re'eh, V'zavachta Pesach L'Hashem Alekecha Tzonu Boker. It says you should offer a Pesach to Hashem your God, sheep and cattle. Tzoyin again means a generic term for sheep and goats and cattle. So when cattle, Vala and Pesach, Boy, the Manach, Bosom, and it is it. We know from Parshas Boy when it first introduces the Korban Pesach that it has to be Dafka. It can't be a cattle. Yeah, it can't be a cow or a bull. It has to be a sheep or a goat. Namely, though, this teaches us that the leftover Pesach becomes a Korban that could otherwise be brought from sheep or from cattle, or mayini or shlomim. Namely, it becomes a shlomim. Because a shlomim, as we said, can be any of the three species. It can be a sheep or a goat or cattle. No, they're not.
And it comes to tell you that...
No, they're not. Not even this.
The Moshe is...
So therefore, so that pasuk teaches us that Moshe Pesach becomes a shlomim. So what do you need avodah de Shmuel's limud from the Im Min Atzeren? And what do you need the sheep and goats are two different creatures. They have certain similarities, but they're different creatures.
Yeah,
go. When next time we're at a petting zoo, you'll see. But okay. And cattle means cows and cows and bulls.
Okay.
Those are completely very different. Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, we have
three different limudim. Yeah, we have three different limudim for the same thing. What do we need then?
We have one avodah shmuel.
We have avodah shmuel from the Im Min Atzeren. We have the braisas from Im Keves. And we have Rav Nachman Amar Rav Ravur from the Zavach Pesach Tzoyin Uvokar. So when do we know all three of them? So the answer is El Tzlosa Kroy Ksivi. So the answer is yeah. You have three Pesachim. Chad LeIbras Mane VeIbras Shnos. One of them teaches us that it's a case where both things have expired. The animal is over. The Pesach has already passed, and the animal is over a year old. That we bring it as a Shlomim. So the second pasuk teaches us about the case where the time has passed, Pesach has already passed, but it's still less than a year old. And the third one teaches us the case where it's not over a year old, and the time the time of the Korban Pesach has not passed yet, and the animal is under a year old. No, that's
you can deduce the first.
Hold on. One second. We'll see that you can't necessarily deduce one. No. Wait. Okay. And the Gemara says it was tzrichi. So we need Pesukim to teach us all three cases. That in all three cases it becomes a shlom. Because if the Torah had only written it in one, had only written one pasuk, kavan mina, then you would think that pasuk is referring to the case. That's talking about the case where not only the animal is over a year old, so it itself is possible for a Korban Pesach, but also to the time of the Pesach itself has passed, Pesach and Pesach Sheni, let's say. So then you would say, Pesach Lagamri. At that point, it's obviously completely pushed off from ever being a Pesach. By the time next Pesach comes, it's going to be over a year old anyway. So you would say in that case, it becomes a Shlom. Aval Ibris Mano Vlishna. So, but what happens if the time of the Korban Pesach had passed, meaning that meaning Pesach is already over, Vlishna, say that the animal was not yet a year old, you would think the Chozi la Pesach Sheni, in that case, the animal could conceivably be used for Pesach Sheni. So then, Emeloi, what?
And vice versa.
What do you mean, and vice versa?
When the year has been...
That's the next one. No, that's only in the term. The chazi la Pesach Sheni, so then this animal could be used for a Pesach Sheni. Emeloi, maybe if you were to shecht it during this period between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, maybe you would say it does not become a shlom. Pesach Sheni is in a few days, actually, your Dalit year. It's a month after Pesach Rishon.
What day is it today?
This year is next Sunday.
No, what's
it? Today is Ches Be'er, so it's in 6 days. So if you shechted it between the first Pesach and the second Pesach, where, after all, if you had waited until Pesach Sheni, you could have used it as a Pesach. Emeloi, maybe you would say that not. Maybe it does not become a Shlomim. Maybe it becomes a Pesach or Pesach. Maybe it's a Pesach that you shechted in the wrong time and it becomes Pesach. And the Ikotarach Honahani Tauti, however, then let's continue. If the Pesach had only mentioned those two, had only mentioned two out of the three Pesachim, you would say, fine, it applies to those two cases, Mishum de Idchulahum in those style. Because after all, in one way or another, it was pushed off from being a Korban Pesach. In the first scenario, it can never be used as a Korban Pesach. In the second scenario, he could have, because it'll be too old. In the second scenario, okay, it could conceivably be used for Pesach Sheni, but the fact is he missed bringing it on Pesach Rishon. But in the case where neither Pesach has passed yet, nor the animal is over a year old, the Chazil Pesach, where then we could actually use it for the first Pesach, Emeloi, then maybe you would say that not. Maybe you would say that's not a Shlomi, maybe it's a possible Pesach, and therefore then...
If it's not
yet a year old, and it's before Pesach, so he designated it, let's say, Purim time.
Then it's on Pesach.
He designated, let's say, Purim time, or Rosh Chodesh Nissan, doesn't really matter for whatever reason. Then sometime before your Dalad Nissan in the afternoon, he shechted it. Again, given what Tosfos said before, you would need Akira. You would have to explicitly be saying, I don't plan to bring this as a Pesach anymore. Nevertheless, if we didn't have a third process, you would say, nevertheless, you don't have the ability to do that. This animal is perfectly capable of being brought as a Purim Pesach. Therefore, maybe now we should consider it a Pesach that you shechted out of time, and it should be possible.
So therefore,
you need the third pasuk to tell us that even in that case, provided that you have the Akira, then it does actually become a Shlom.
Earlier than the 14th of Nisan,
it doesn't matter how much earlier. The point is, it's earlier than the time of the Shlom. Doesn't matter when it is. It could be Tishrei time, whatever it is. The point is, it's before your Dalad Nisan, and the animal will still be under a year old. Come your Dalad Nisan. Nevertheless, we're saying that still becomes a shlomim since you're not shechting it in the right time. And again, because you did Akira. Akira means that you said that I'm not bringing this as a Pesach anymore, I'm bringing this as some other carbon.
If you don't say that,
then it's a Pesach that's shechted shlomim mana, and it's possible. So that's why, after all, we need three different limudim, three different psukim to teach us that a Pesach becomes a shlomim because you have three different scenarios. Fine. Now we're going to return to the matter of chatas. We said that a chatas that shechted shaloi b'shmoi is possible. So now we're going to get into some more details. We're going to get into some more details about shaloi b'shmoi as it relates to a chatas. Omer Rav Mishmei de Maboy. The Rav says in the name of Mabod, this is the only place in Shas where this Mabod is mentioned. We have no idea who he is.
An abbreviation, or is it?
The Pashtas, that's his name. The Pashtas, that's his name. But anyway, he's obviously important enough for Rav to be saying a din in his name. So whatever. I've mentioned before what the Rogachover says, that every Masechta has at least one Amor, it was mentioned only in that Masechta. Here, actually, we have two, because we also had an Amor Aleph. We had Rav Yossi, but of Sabriya, or Rav Sabrin, or whatever. He's also only mentioned here in Zvachim. So here you have a second one. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so Rav says in the name of Mabod, Chatas Shoshokta Boshum Chatas Nachshoin. Suppose you have a regular Chatas that a person is bringing, let's say, because he ate Chalev or whatever, and it was Shechted having in mind that it is the Chatas of Nachshoin, or any of the Nisiyim, meaning the special Chatas that the Nisiyim brought each of the 12 days of the dedication of Nishkan. Shera, such a Chatas is kosher. That's what we have to figure out. The Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Zois Torah Chatas, because the Pasuk says, this is the rule of the chatos, implying Torah achas for chol chatos, meaning all chatos have the same rule. We don't consider it shinui kodesh. We don't say, now when you get down to it, the chatos of Nachshon was not a regular chatos in the sense it wasn't brought to be mechatra for a specific avera. It was brought in one of the korbanos that Nachshon and then all the nesiim after him brought to as dedication to the Mishkan. It was an unusual thing where you bring a chatos as nedava. Okay, Rashi, I think, mentions on the pasuk over there that it symbolized that they need kapara for selling Yosef. But still, I mean, basically it was one of these unusual korbanos that are being brought as a present rather than as kapara. So therefore, what it amounts to, if you shech a chatas l'shem chatas nachshon, it's not considered shinui hashem. It's not considered making it a different kind of korban. You don't say that it's considered a different type of korban, because the fact is it is a chatas. It has the same rule as other chatas. No, there's Mabog is saying this. Nobody.
We mean
Nachshon. We mean any of the other Nesim as well. I mean, we're mentioning Chatas. We'll see soon why we mentioned specifically Chatas Nachshon. But what we mean is you're having in mind that this should be like the Chatas of Nachshon, and that was brought not as a regular Chatas for a Chet. It was brought as a gift. So it's not considered Shinui Kodesh because it's still a Chatas of the Chatas. It's not considered Shinui Hashem because you're not bringing it in order that Nachshon should get Kapara with it, because Nachshon is dead and ain't Kapara l'meitim. Therefore, it's kosher. Yosef Rava v'kama l'ha l'hashmaita. So now, one time, Rava is sitting over this teaching that Rav had said in the name of Mabod, Esvir Mesharshia l'Rava. But the Mesharshia says, I have a contradiction to you from a braita as follows. Reb Shimon Omer. Now,
this
idea that Rav is saying in the name of Mabod, that if you shech the chatas as chatas nachshon, then it's kosher. Now, why should that be? We learn in a braita as follows. Now we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, we said that all korbanos that are shechted shelo lishman are kosher. They just don't count for the owner except for the Pesach and the Chatas. We have a similar thing. The first Mishnah of Menachos says something similar. That with Menachos, the same thing. The korban mincha, if it's brought, if you did the kmitzah or any of the other avodas shelo lishman, same thing. The mincha is kosher, but it doesn't count for the owner. With two, again, with the exception of a minchas koyta over there, we say a minchas koyta, whatever. But we have a different braita with a different opinion. Reb Shimon Omer, Kol Menachos Shenikin Tim Shalol Lashman Ksheiros. Reb Shimon says that not only are all Menachos where the Kmissa was taken Shalol Lashman, not only are they kosher like the Tanakhama says, but Reb Shimon says V'olul Abaylam Meshum Kloiva. He says they do actually count for the owner for to be Yoyse his. That's not the point. The point is Mabug is not a Tana. Mabug is not a Tana. But besides that, also the point is that we could say that Mabog is going according to the Tanakhama, but you still have to consider Reb Shimon's Svara. Look at Reb Shimon's Svara, where he says like this. So he's saying that all Menachos that were Nikmas or Shalom Lishman are kosher, and for all of the Bailam Mishum Chayva, but they do count for the owner's Chayva. And what's the reason, he says? Lafisha, and a Menachos Domus Lizvachim. Because he says, Menachos have a basic difference from Zvachim. Namely, Shakomis Machvas L'Shem Malcheshet. What are we talking about if you're bringing one mincha, having in mind that it's a different mincha? Now, within Menachos itself, you have different ways of preparing a mincha. You have, there can be a regular mincha, Mincha Solas it's called, where you just have flour mixed with oil. But then you have the various types of menachos that are fried or baked. You have, for example, minchas machvas, for example, where it's fried on a pan in a shallow pan, minchas macheshet, where it's fried in a deep pan, minchas mafetanu, where it's baked in an oven. So, shakomet machvas, the shem macheshet. So Rav Shimon says, if you have in front of you a korban mincha, which was fried in a shallow pan, a machvas, and you're taking the knitzah from it, having in mind that instead that's a minchas macheshet, the kind that's fried in a deep pan, not as possible. Fakerti says, why should it be possible? Why shouldn't it be Yosef? Why shouldn't the owner be Yosef? Ma'aseh mechichan alea, she machba. You can see clearly. You look at the mincha, you can see that it's a minchas machba. The minchas machba looks different than a minchas machesha. The difference is, actually, Rashi brings from the Gemara in Menachos over there, the difference is the minchas machba, because it's a shallow pan, the oil spreads out in it, and the dough spreads out in it, and therefore it comes out a harder dough. Or the Rambam seems to learn that to begin with, they use a harder dough in order that it shouldn't fall off the edges. As opposed to a machesha, so the deep pan, all the oil stays in it, and the dough also doesn't have that much room to spread out, so it ends up softer, yeah. So when you have a minchas machvas and you have a minchas macheshet, you'll easily be able to see the difference between them. A machvas will be more crusty, and a macheshet will be softer. Yeah. And similarly, chareva l'shem blola, the same way, for example, if you have in front of you a mincha which is dry, where no oil is being brought in it, namely the mincha that's brought for a korban olah v'yored, where the person did an avera, so at l'shem blola, if you have in mind that it's the kind that's mixed with oil, again, ma'aseh mechichan shi chareva, again, you can look at it and clearly see that it's dry, that's without oil, and obviously very, very visibly different than the other kind of mincha. So therefore, Rav Shimon says, if you had in mind that it's a different type of mincha, it won't make a difference. It won't affect the validity of it because it's recognizable that what you said makes no sense. But when it comes to karbonis, it's not like that. The fact is, all karbonis are shechted the same way. All of them, the blood is caught in the mizrach the same way. And all of them are sprinkled on the mizbeach the same way. Okay, strictly speaking, they're not actually sprinkled the same way because you have different ones that are sprinkled on the mizbeach different ways. But the fact of the matter is, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, b'di'eved, even the korbanos that are supposed to be sprinkled two or four times, if you only did it once, b'di'eved, you're yoyser.
According to Rav Shimon, the mice is the most important on the korbanos.
No, according to Rav Shimon, if you have where it's visibly different, then your korbanos doesn't matter. But with korbanos, with animal korbanos, it's not like that. Now, so the point is, even Rav Shimon, in other words, So, in other words, like this, when you have somebody is taking a minchas machvas, for example, and saying, I'm taking kmitza from it as a minchas macheshet, then it's obviously he's lying. Obviously his machshava or his statement or whatever doesn't count for anything because obviously he's not telling the truth. But if he takes a korban that was supposed to be an ola and shechts it, for example, having in mind that it's a chafot, There's nothing visibly to tell us that he's lying. Therefore, we can say his machshava has effect.
He could have made a mistake.
That's not the point. The point isn't whether he made a mistake or not. The point is, and actually, strictly speaking, I mean, all this time we've been talking about he made a mistake. Strictly speaking, if it was a mistake, then we're going to have elsewhere in the Masechta, we're going to have the whole question whether if you do betos, whether that has any validity or not. But let's not get into that right now. The point is, even if he did it deliberately, he knew it was supposed to be an ola, and he said that it's going to be a chafot.
And he still brings in
the point. No, when we look, if we're standing over there, there's nothing telling us. There's nothing on this animal that demonstrates that it was supposed to be a chatos. It could just as well have been an oila. So that, as opposed to when it comes to menachos, every mincha looks different. They're baked, they're fried, they're with oil, they're without oil. So therefore, Rav Shimon says when his machshava obviously contradicts the facts on the ground, then his machshava doesn't count for anything. But Rav Shimon agrees, on the other hand, when it comes to korbanos, that time of the maaseh mechichin. So why is Rav Shimon saying when it comes to a mincha it's kosher? Because you can visibly see that it's not the type of mincha that he says. Ha ein maaseh mechichin moi, but implying, but if it wasn't, if you didn't have that obvious fact, then not. Then he would agree. He agrees after all with our Mishnah that one korban shechted having in mind a different korban is not the owner of that yotzeh. Now I might. Now why not? Based on your logic that you're saying zos teres achatos, lema zos teres amincha teres achas achol menachos. Why didn't he say the same thing within menachos itself? Now let's say, for example, you have two types of menachos that do look visibly similar, and you did the kmitza of one having in mind that it's a different one. And you should, so then you, according to the Shimon, it sounds like he would agree that the owner is not yotzeh. Now why not? By your logic that you're saying by the chatos that a chatos is a chatos, by the same logic you should say a mincha is a mincha, therefore it shouldn't matter whether maaseh mechitza and aleha, whether it looks visibly different or not. But we see that Rav Shimon, is only saying, why am I saying it's kosher, and why am I saying the owner is yotze, only because of the visible difference between one mincha and another. Based on this logic from Zos Teres HaChatos, or it also says Zos Teres HaMincha, you should argue you don't need all of that. Regardless, you did kmitza of one mincha, having in mind it's a different one, it should be kosher regardless whether it looks the same or not.
The
Chum don't agree with Reb Shimon anyway, but even Reb Shimon, who says that with a mincha it'll be kosher, he still says only because they look similar, meaning that it was not because there's Zos Teres HaMincha, that all menachas are on an equal level. Okay, what were you going to ask?
So we have to pay a whole amount of money for a new animal.
Yes,
but
indeed.
That's true.
In some cases, maybe the Kohen will be responsible to pay him for it. That's a different question. That gets into all the question of Nezer, Chain, and Nither. Let's not get into that. Okay. Fine. So it doesn't work. We can't make that limud work because then you would have to say the same limud by mincha, at least according to Rav Shimon. Now, Ela Ishmael Hochi Ishmael said no. Rather, we have to say that if this was said, what Rav had said in the name of Mabud, we quoted it wrong. Omer Rav Mishmei de Mabud, Chatas Sheshokta Amanashi Skapa Bar Nachshin, if he shechted Chatas, not that you shechted having in mind that it's Nachshin's Chatas. You're right, Nachshin's Chatas is a different type of Chatas. That would make it possible by the logic we just said. But if you shechted it, having in mind that Nachshon will have his kapara with it, kshera, then that korban is kosher in kapara lemeisim, because there's no kapara for the dead. In other words, therefore, you can't say, so therefore it's the equivalent of, like we said, so it's kosher. So it's kosher because you're having in mind somebody who can't be niskapa with it anyway. It's like we said the other day, but if you shecht a chatas, having in mind somebody who's not chayv a chatas at all, then we said it. It's not, yeah, we said it's good.
What is it for?
What happens if he's poor and he doesn't have enough money?
He's having in mind that Nachshon should be Niskapa. That it's okay. That's not considered Shinui Bayu. Okay, so the question is why we mention it specifically Nachshon. Well, in the Mesba Alma, just mention in general that he has somebody dead in mind. Why specifically Nachshon?
That's what I was asking.
Right. Hokamash Malon, time of the mess. So, the Chiddush is like this. The reason why it's kosher is only because the person he has in mind is dead. Hodchai dumya denachshon. But if he shechted it having in mind somebody else who is alive, who is similar to Nachshon in the sense that somebody is chayav a chatos, but not for an avera, like Nachshon who was chayav to bring a korban chatos because he obligated himself to bring it as part of the miluim.
Nachshon
ben Aminadab, we're talking about. So he obligated himself to bring a chatos. That's a unique case where you're able to obligate yourself to bring a chatos. Usually, that's true. Usually you only bring a chatos if you did one of a certain class of avedas. However, Nachshon and the other Nesim after him voluntarily brought a chatos, and it was accepted. Again, we said before because of the sale of Yosef, and each one had different things that they symbolized with their korbanos, but whatever. Hashem told Moshe, accept their korbanos. So it was there were other unusual features, and they also brought ketoros, even though normally an individual doesn't bring ketoros. There were a number of unusual features in their korbanos, but nevertheless, Hashem said to accept them as a special thing. Anyway, the point is, the chiddush of what Rav is saying in the name of Mabod is that if you were to shecht a chatos on behalf of a living person who's chayav a chatos but not for an avera, similar in that sense to Nachshon, then it would be possible. Then it would be kosher. Then it would be kosher. That's what we're saying. Chatas sheshachta. I skipped a couple of lines. No, it would be kosher. Time of the mess. The reason why it's kosher is because you're having in mind Nachshon who's dead. Hodachai dumia de Nachshon. But if you were to have in mind somebody who's alive, who is similar to Nachshon in the sense that he has to bring a chatas, but not for an avera, then such a korban would be tzula. Umaymiu, now what's an example after Nachshon's time? Because the fact is, you're having in mind somebody who has to bring a chatos. It's a different type of chatos. And since we don't accept what we said before, zoi tzoros hachatos, tzorach of a kol hachatos, then what you have over here is shinu yashen. You're changing it from one type of chatos to another type of chatos. You're changing it from a chatos from chatos chelev, you're changing it into a chatos that has nothing to do with an avera. Umaymiu, now what would be the example? What is the case where a person brings a chatos where not because of an avera? Chatas nozir v'chatas masorah. That would be the chatas that a nozir brings at the end of his term, and the chatas that a masorah brings at the end of his tzara. So in other words, if you were to have in mind, so...
Yes, he brings three karbanos and one of them is a chatzah. So, Nazir and Amsara both bring three karbanos. It's different karbanos, but whatever. The point is, each one of them, their karbanos include a chatzah. So therefore, in other words, if you have, so if a person is bringing a chatzah, let's say for having eaten a chaylev or broken Shabbos or what have you, and they shechted having in mind that is a chatzah Nazir or a chatzah Masara, that would be similar to bringing it on behalf of Nachshon, if Nachshon was still alive, then we're saying it would be possible. So the question
because
you say you're making it into a different kind of chatzah. So the question is, why should it be possible? Hani oilas ninu. Effectively, yes, of course these things are chatzos. The chatzos of a nazir and the chatzos of a sotah are chatzos. They have the rules of a chatzos. However, in effect, they're like an oila because a chatzos, by the definition of a chatzos usually is that it's brought because of a chet, because of an avera. Here, where these things are not being brought up because of an avera, in that sense, these things are similar to an oila. They're accomplishing a different type of kapara. They're not really voluntary. They're not really voluntary because the nazir and the mesorah have to bring them, but they're not being mechaper for a chet.
Right.
They have a different purpose, and therefore it shouldn't be considered. Therefore, it shouldn't be considered like No, because Shimshon never cut his hair. Shimshon was. What? Ask me about that afterwards. That's not relevant. It should not be considered possible. Why should it, So that's the question. Chatas nachshon olahi. So then, hani olas minu. These are olos, and therefore, so it shouldn't be considered shinui bialim because, like we said the other day in the Gemara, we said that if you shech the chatas on behalf of somebody who's not at all chayv a chatas, who's chayv an olah, let's say, then we said it's kosher. So by the same logic over here, these people aren't really chayav achatos. The chatos they're chayav is a different type of chatos. So why should it be possible? Okay, so we have to change the wording yet again. Ela y itmar hochi itmar? No, we have to say that what was said was as follows. Omer rab mishmei debabur, chatos sheshokta al shemachuyim chatos kenachshin kshera. No, what we're saying is, therefore, if you were to shech the chatos on behalf of somebody who is chayav achatos in the same way that Nachshon was, then it would be kosher, and who is chayav achatos like Nachshon was, that would be a nozer or mitzvah, because chatos Nachshon ola, because the chatos of Nachshon effectively is an ola, because the voluntary chatos, it's not a chatos that's coming because of an avera, and therefore, again, like we said before, therefore it would remain kosher. So that would be what he's saying. Okay, Ikadama. Ikadama, another version of the discussion is Amar Rav Mishmei de Mabur, Chatas Sheshokta Lashem Chatas Nachshon Psula. According to the second version, if you shechted it having in mind that it's the Chatas of Nachshon, then it would be possible. Because Chatas Nachshon Olahi, because the Chatas of Nachshon is like an Ola, and therefore it amounts to Shinui Hashem. It amounts to transforming it from a Chatas into an Ola, and you can't do that.
So
Nachshon's Chatas is like an Ola in that sense, and therefore you're transforming a Chatas, you're doing Shinui Hashem, you're transforming it into an Ola. So the question is, according to that logic, in that case, why mention Nachshon? Why not just say straight out, if you shechted a regular chatas, having in mind that it's a chatas of a nozer or a chatas of a mitzvah, it would be possible. Why bring in chatas Nachshon? The answer is, ikur chatas noka. You're right, he could have mentioned one of those, but he mentioned the first example ever where we find that an individual person is bringing a chatas. After the dedication of the Mishkan, after the eighth day of the Mishkan, when the Shekhinah came to rest, the first time that anybody brought a voluntary chatas was Nachshon, actually on that same day, on Rosh Chodesh Nissan.
He was
the Shekhinah of Shevet Yehuda. So therefore we mention that because that was the first chatas ever brought by a Yachid. What we mean by the same logic, it would mean any kind of chatas that an individual is bringing that's not Mishum Chet, that's not because of an Aveir. So it would include chatas Nazir and chatas Mitzvah.
So in conclusion,
therefore, that's what Rav is saying in the name. So we have two different versions of what Rav is saying in the name of Mabul. One is that if you shechted it having in mind somebody who is chayav achatas like Nachshon, then according to the first version, it would be kosher. And according to the second version, the reason is because you're shechting it maybe with shinui bialim, but you're not having in mind that the blood is going to be sprinkled with Shinui Bailam. As we said before, Rashi has learned that when it comes to Shinui Bailam, it's only possible if you're having in mind what's going to happen by the Zrita. Here it is.
Second version.
This is, we said according to the second version. And all the Gemara over here, we're saying that the shchita itself would be possible. It would be shinui Hashem because you're transforming a chatas into an oil.
You said a chatas isn't not pointing yet because of an avera.
I know what you're going to ask. The Masorah did an avera. Yes, you're right. But he's not because of the avera, he got sarah. Now when he did tshuva and the saras goes away, then he's bringing his korbanos. But the korban is not directly because of an avera, like eating chelek or breaking Shabbos or worshiping avodah zarah or what have you. It's an indirect thing. It's an indirect thing. It's a different kind of chatas. Okay, good question then. Okay. Boy, Rava. Fine. So now Rava asks the question as follows. What about chatas? I skipped a couple of lines. Okay. Omer Rav, here's another din. The Rav says another din. Chatas chelek sheshok v'lashem chatas dam. If a person brought a chatos for having eaten chalev, and it was shechted having in mind that it's a chatos for having eaten blood, or l'shem chatos avodas kechavim, or he had in mind that it was a chatos for avodah zarah, which Rashi points out is a greater chiddush, because a chatos for avodah zarah is different than most kind of chatos, because we learned in Horeus that a typical chatos is either a female sheep or a female goat. A chatos for avodah zarah davka has to be a female goat. So either way, the korban is kosher because, again, a chatas is a chatas.
How did the chachamim know what could only be bought for an avodah zarah?
Not what's offered for an avodah zarah. What a person brings as a korban, if mistakenly he worships avodah zarah, what he brings as a korban to Hashem. But besides that, also the chachamim did have to be expert in how the different avodah zarahs are worshipped in order to know whether a person worships it in a way that makes him punishable. Chatas dam would mean if a person ate blood. Yes, they did. Okay. So he's saying, so again, if you took a chatas of chalev and shechted it, having in mind that's a chatas of dam, or shem chatas of eskachavim, ksheira, then the korban is still kosher. Because it's still chatas. However, the shem chatas nozzle, the shem chatas nesoda psula, however, as we said, according to the second lashon before, if you, it's slightly different than the second lashon. If you shechted it having in mind that it's a chatas nozzle, or having in mind that it's a chatas nesoda, then it's possible because, as we said before, hani olas ninu, these are effectively olas, and therefore we have shinu yashem. Before we were talking about from the point of view of shinu bailin, that you're shechting it having in mind on behalf of somebody who's chayav a chatas nozzle or chatas nesoda. That gets into the question of whether it's shinu bailin or not. You were getting into Shini Hashem. There's no question. So I misspoke before. It wasn't Shini Hashem before. Before it was Shini Bailim. Here we're talking about Shini Hashem. There's no question if you shech, he's saying that you don't even need different Lashonis. If you shecht it, having in mind that it is a Chafas Nozu or Chafas Matsoda, then effectively you shecht it as an Ola. Effectively, you've changed it to a different type of Korban. It's not a real Chafas. Now, boy, Rava. So now, Rava asks, what about chatas chelav sheshach v'lashem chatas v'tumas mikdash v'kodshav mahu? What about if it was a chatas of chelav, a regular chatas,
that should be
that you shechted it, having in mind that it was a chatas for tumas mikdash v'kodshav, for going into the bit mikdash or eating kodshav when you're tumah. Mahu, what would be the deal? Mi amin and koris kamoi. So on the one hand, we could say that they're both things that involve koris. So therefore you could argue that it is considered similar. But on the other hand, if you had in mind the other person, then you'd have a problem of shinui bailin, because the other person is equally well high as such a korban. On the other hand, you could say though, a korban olav yod is not fixed like it. The korban for tumas nefesh v'kodshav is not fixed like it because we know it's variable. You bring an animal if you can afford it, and it's olav yod. Yeah, it goes up and down and down. So it's not exactly like a chatas. A korban olav yored, if you bring a korban for entering the bet mikdash or eating kodshim when you're tamei, then the value of the korban varies. If you can afford it, you bring an animal. If you can't afford that, then you bring birds. And if you can't even afford that, you bring a korban mincha. Then you still have to bring something. As opposed to a regular chatas, you always bring an animal. And if you can't afford it, you have to raise the money. So maybe it's not similar. Okay. So Rava leaves the question open, right? However, and in fact, the Shitim Kubrasis adds the word Keku. However, Rav Acha Brederava Masni Kulul of Sula. Rav Acha Brederava learned that in all these various cases, the korban will actually be possible.
That's the halacha.
Yes. My timer. Now, why is that? The Shochat Oysa L'Chatas, because the pasuk says you should check it as a Chatas, implying L'Shem Oysa Chatas. It has to be having in mind that very same Chatas. So not even, for example, a chatas chelev that was checked as a chatas dam that Rav was saying would be kosher. No, even that would be possible because you changed what type of chatas it is, and you changed the what the purpose. What? Yes, the exact.
What's the difference between a chatas dam and a
There's no difference in how they're actually brought, but one is you bring for somebody who, that one is somebody is bringing the, because he ate chayav, fat from an animal that you're not allowed to eat, and the other one is because he ate blood that you're not allowed to eat. So therefore, sort of achabre de rabba, is that really possible? Yeah. Om alay rav ashi, rav achabre de rabba, so rav ashi asks rav achabre de rabba, boya de rabba, hey chemas nizula. Nu, so what are you doing with rabba's question about a chatas chaylev that was shechted as a chatas of tumas mitzvah shvikacha? If you hold that in all cases where you change the purpose of the korban, you change from chatas chaylev to chatas dam, it's possible. Then obviously if you change it from chaylev to tumas mitzvah shvikacha, it's also possible. What's the, according to you, why is he asking the question? Amalei, Rav Acha Brei de Rava answers, Anan, the Shini Baila Masnin Amna. You're right. We learn that Rava's question was not as far as the question of Shini Hashem, of changing the designation. Of course it'll be possible. The question was as far as Shini Baila. Bahochi Masnin Amna, namely, we learn Rava's question as follows. Amar Rava, Chatas Chelev Sheshachta Al Mishal Mechuyev Chatas Dam, Bechatas Avodas Kachavim. If you shech a Chatas Chelev having in mind somebody who's Chayev a Chatas for Dam, or a Chatas Rava de Zara, so then it'll be possible, because that's real Shinri Baalim, because you have some, the other person is equally well Chayav HaKatos, and we said before, that's the definition of Shinri Baalim, and you have somebody else in mind who's Chayav this type of carbon. And the question was, on the other hand, Amishim Mechoyu Chatas Nozer V'Chatas Metzorah Kshera. On the other hand, if you had in mind somebody who's Chayav HaKatos of a Nozer V'Chatas Metzorah, it's kosher, because those are fundamentally not Chatois. Those have more of the status of an Ola. So therefore, that's the equivalent of Shechting a Chatos for somebody who's only Chayav an Ola, and we said before that's kosher. Uboyan Lehochi, and then continues Rav Acha Brei de Rava, we learn the question, Rava's question as follows. Boy Rava. If you shech the chatas chelev having in mind somebody who's chayav a chatas for tumas nefesh v'kachrov, mahu, what would be the din? Miyamin koris kemosa, do we say that after all they're both chayav koris, therefore it would be considered shinui bailim, therefore it would really be considered shinui bailim, because you're shechting it on behalf of somebody else who's chayav the same type of korban. Or maybe not, because a korban over the year is variable in value and a regular chatas is not. And the answer on that is take, or we don't know. And indeed, the Rambam Haskins, therefore, the korban is going to be possible. Because in this topic, we have to say, we have the doubt, we have the take over here, therefore, we have to say the korban is going to be possible. We will consider that we have Shinri Bailam over here. He shechted it on behalf of a different person. And that'll make it possible. Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. Fine. So let's go on in the Gemara. It's mine. Shachta l'shma lizrik dama shalai l'shma. How about another case?
So that's the
halacha. So the bottom line is this whole discussion that we had over here of a chatas that was shechted, having in mind a different chatas, the Rambam understands actually. What the Rambam says is as follows. There's never going to be a case where such a korban is going to be completely where the owner is going to be yotzei. Either you're going to have, we have it considered real shinri bialim, like we just discussed, and then it'll be actually possible. Or you're going to have, even for example, you did, let's say, for example, chatas chelev, that was shechted as chatas dam, fine, it'll be kosher because it's not a different bialim, and it's not really a shini Hashem, however, he won't be yotze.
So either it's possible.
So either it's completely possible he's not yotze. You're never going to have a case where he's actually yotze. Okay, if you had the case where he shechted on behalf of somebody who was dead, like Nachshon, then we said before, ain't kapor lemeisim, then it doesn't matter.
That's the
case. So that's it. Okay. So now we have a discussion as follows. Shachta l'shma lizrit dama shalai l'shma. What about you shechted the korban l'shma? You had in mind that this is an oil, let's say. But here we're talking about a chatas. So you shechted it having in mind that it's a chatas. Lizrit dama shalai l'shma. But you had in mind during the shechita that you planned to do the zrika shalai l'shma. That you planned to do the zrika having in mind a different korban.
You said it's possible, no?
That's what Shini Bailim we talked about, but here we're talking about Shini Hashem. Here we're talking about Shini Hashem. So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula v'Resh Lakish Amar Kshela. Rabbi Yochanan says that the korban will be possible, and Resh Lakish says it will be kosher. Rabbi Yochanan Amar
Psula,
if you had in mind doing one avoda that you're going to be that you're going to be doing a different avoda the wrong way. So now, later on in the Masechta, when we get into the later on in the second parak and the third parak, we're going to be dealing with the din of pigul. And by pigul, you do actually have such a concept. When you have pigul is when you have in mind when you're doing one of the four avodas of a korban, you have in mind that you're going to be sprinkling the blood or burning the pieces on the mizbeach or eating it beyond the time that you're supposed to. Then that makes the korban pigul, and a person eats from it his chayav karet.
Here we're talking about.
So he wouldn't have talking about a pigul yet. He were talking about lashol l'shma. But Rabbi Yochanan says we learn one from the other. Rabbi Yochanan amar psula mechashen me'avoda la'avoda, because Rabbi Yochanan says it does have effect to have machshava in doing one avoda of what's going to happen later on during another avoda. V'yafinen machshavas pigul, that we learn from pigul, whereby pigul such a thing works. If you have yeshech the korban having in mind that you're going to do the zrika tomorrow, for example, then it becomes pigul right now on the spot. So Rabbi Yochanan says the same logic will apply to shitting Hashem.
Should say it's different. One is about time, and the other one is about the purpose.
Okay. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says you can still learn one from the other. V'deshlokish amak shera ein machashu na'avod la'avod v'lo yafin and me'machshavas pigul. The shlokish says it'll be kosher because we're not going to learn from pigul because Rashi says the difference is when it comes to pigul, fundamentally the idea of pigul is that you're planning to do something that involves eating outside of the Zman. So eating can include one of three things. It can include sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach, which considered the blood, the Mizbeach effectively eats, consumes the blood. You can have the burning of the fat on the Mizbeach. You can have the eating of the korban. Those are three types of eating or consuming, which make the korban pigul. And since we know that that's the whole definition of pigul. And on the other hand, pigul can be accomplished during any of the four avodas. So fine, when it comes to pigul, obviously you can be mechashev avoda l'avoda. Obviously it has to be possible to do the shchita having in mind that the zrika or the haktara or what have you is going to be chutz l'zman, is going to be outside of the time. However, the Shlokish says we don't have any reason to say that should apply to Shaloi L'Shma, where Shaloi L'Shma is independent, it applies independently to each of the four avodas. It doesn't apply only to Zvika or only Haktara or whatever. It applies equally well to Shchita. So why should we say that Shchita should be subordinate to Zvika in that case? That we should say that during the Zvika, during the Shchita, you have in mind Zvika, and that's enough to make it Shaloi L'Shma. The Shlokish says no. Again, by pigul, they're all subordinate. Everything that's done up until that point is subordinate to the zrika and to what happens after the zrika. By shalom l'shma, there's no reason to say that.
He cannot say that the shkita is going to be...
Because the definition of pigul requires that you're having in mind some kind of achila is going to take place chutz l'zman. It's going to take place outside of the proper time.
Right.
So obviously, therefore, the shchita itself, if you shecht it having in mind, for example, that I'm only going to catch the blood the next day, that doesn't matter. If you start shechting having in mind what I'm going to do half the shchita today and half the shchita tomorrow or whatever, that doesn't make it pigul. If you have in mind the shchita that I'm going to be doing the Kabbalah chutz l'zman, that also doesn't make it pigul. Only if you have in mind the zrika or the haktara semorim. So therefore, obviously, there the shchita and all the avodas before it have to be subordinated to the zrika, right? But as opposed to by Shalom Lashma, each one is its own independent thing. So therefore, the Shlokish says that you don't have machshava from one to the other. Yeah. But as of the time I was, the Gemara continues, they're both going according to their own respective svaras that we find in a different context. The Isra, because we have another discussion as follows. Hashoychet et ha-behema amanach lizrik dom alaber es kechavim, o lahachto chel balaber es kechavim. If a person shechts an animal, having in mind that he plans to sprinkle the blood in honor of Avodah Zarah, or to burn the fat in honor of Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura, so Rabbi Yochanan says that the animal will be also Bahana, because it will be considered as shechted for Avodah Zarah, because the chashvin ma'avodah la'avodah, because again, it's possible to have a machshava during one avodah, the shchita in this case, that there will be a later avodah of zrika, and the Yafinim Chutz Mipnim, and Rabbi Yochanan says we can learn what happens outside the Beit Mikdash from what happens within the Beit Mikdash. So just like within the Beit Mikdash, he's saying, Mechashim Na'avodah La'avodah, that you're able to have in mind a thought of Shaloi L'Shma during Shchita about Zrika, and it takes effect.
One is tied to the other.
The same way he will say Mechutz, the same way he'll say outside the Beit Mikdash when you're Shechting Chulin, the same rules apply. Rish Lakish Amar Mutaris, Ein Mechashim Na'avodah La'avodah Lo Yafinim Chutz Mipnim. Rish Lakish says, on the other hand, will be mutter, because again, he holds, like his same svar over here, that a machshava during one avoda has no effect on the other avodah. So the fact that he has a machshava that later on the blood is going to be sprinkled with shame of a zara does not change the fact, does not make the shechita now in and of itself possible. The loyofen in chutz mipnim. So he says you can't learn what happens outside the bais mikdash from what happens inside. Inside the bais mikdash, yes, when it comes to pigul, you have mechash from avodah l'avodah. But outside the bais mikdash, we don't say that such a thing applies. Now Tosfos points out Rish Lakish will agree the guy is chayav nisa. Because the fact of the matter is, he does have in mind that he's going to be sprinkling the blood for avodah zarah. We're talking about whether the animal itself is mutar b'hanah, whether it's considered that it was shechted l'shem avodah zarah.
According to him, it is.
Now,
because outside
the business, there's an there for you. Now, Tosfos briefly discusses the issue. What about that? Tosfos just mentions briefly that we don't consider it the shechita of a mumer. We don't say that it's the shechita of somebody who's into avodah zarah, and for that reason alone. So Tosfos doesn't elaborate, but actually the Rashba writes, and the Ra'or disagrees with him a bit on this, that the idea may be because it's the first time he's doing it. In order for him to be a mumer, it would have to be that he does this habitually. This may be the first time he's doing it. So therefore that would be enough to make him considered a mumer. The Rashba also, by the way, deals with the interesting question, what about if you're shechting the korban, but the point is, you're shechting it for a goy who then is going to take the blood and sprinkle it for avodah zarah. Would that make the shechita possible, according to Rabbi Yechonon? So he says that not actually, because you were talking about that you yourself have in mind to sprinkle it.
Both are tied to each other.
Fine. So according to the Rashba, so if I remember correctly, the Rashba says that actually you should pack and not have that in mind, that you're going to be giving the blood to the goy, because that would be considered mechashma na'avodah l'avodah. You yourself aren't going to sprinkle it, doesn't matter. The Ra'or disagrees with him and says, doesn't matter whether you have that in mind. You're not the one who's going to be sprinkling. If you were having in mind that you are, then yeah, it would be a problem. But yeah. Okay, so why do we need the machloikas of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish in both cases in that case? Because, Shitim HaKabetah to add the words at Srifi, we need both machloikas. The Iyashmin and Baha, because if we were only told the machloikas in the case of the animal shechted, where we have in mind that the sprinkling is going to be done l'shem avodah zarah, you would say baha amar Rish Lakish. You would say in that case, Rish Lakish says that you don't, that the machshava during shechita about what's going to happen during zrika has no effect. Because outside the bais mikdash, ava pnim mipnim, but shaloi l'shma, to learn from pigul, where both of them take place in the bais mikdash. Maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yechonon that you can learn one thing that happens inside the bais mikdash from another, and therefore we say that Rish Lakish argued with Rabbi Yechonon in two cases, one inside the bais mikdash, shaloi l'shma, and one outside the bais mikdash where you're thinking that there's going to be zrika l'shem avodah zarah. So if we only had that second case, you would say Rish Lakish says over there, fine. Of course, machshava doing shchita about what's going to happen during zrika has no effect. Because it's very dissimilar from a korban. It's outside the bais mikdash altogether. But maybe in the bais mikdash, he would agree, once everybody agrees, that you have machash min avodah l'avodah when it comes to pigul. So maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yechonon that you can also learn shaloi l'shma from it, because after all, they both take place in the bais mikdash. The Iyashmin and Han. Conversely, if we only had that machlokes, the first one, Baha ka'amar Rabbi Yechonon, maybe only in that case would Rabbi Yechonon say that it's possible, because it was shaloi l'shma. And that you learn one thing in the bais mikdash from another, you learn shaloi l'shma from pigul, aval ba'ahi, but when it comes to the case of the animal shechted as chulin outside the bais mikdash, ema modele l'Rish Lakish, maybe he would agree with Rish Lakish that it shouldn't be osir b'ana, tzrichi, and therefore we need both machlokes.
When we saw the opinion of Rish Lakish,
we said that Rish Lakish is arguing in two cases. One is bifnim, where you shechted a chatas, let's say, having in mind during the shechita that I plan to do the zrika shaloi l'shma,
right.
And Rish Lakish says the korban remains kosher,
right.
Even though if you had a similar machshava of pigul, it would make it, of chutzlas mana, it would make it pigul, but he says shaloi l'shma is different. The other one was where you shechted an animal, a chulin animal, outside the business, you shechted it having in mind that you're going to be sprinkling the blood, the shame of a desire. And Rish Lakish also says there that it's not also b'hanah.
Because
he says, ein machash from avodah l'avodah. He says, if you had shechted having in mind that you shechted in the shame of avodah zarah, of course it would be also b'hanah. It would be zibchei mason. It would be a korban shechted for avodah zarah. But like this, you're having in mind during the shechita that later on you're going to take the blood and sprinkle it for shame of avodah zarah. Rish Lakish says that doesn't matter. The only case...
You would have to have it during the
shechita itself. During the shechita itself.
During the shechita. you have in mind that you're going to make the zrika the shema the zara?
According to the shlokas, okay. Ein mechashu na'avoda the la'avoda. The fact that you have in mind something now during shtika or what you're going to do later at the time of zrika doesn't matter, says the shlokas. But that's the point. So the shlokas is saying so like this. In other words, we have three possible cases where you have mechashu na'avoda la'avoda. You have pigul, which everybody agrees mechashu na'avoda la'avoda. You have shalom the shemon within the Beit HaMikdash, where Rabbi Yochanan says it'll be possible, and Rosh Lakish will say it'll be kosher, and you have outside the Beit HaMikdash, in connection with Chulin, when you're dealing with Lashem of Avodah Zarah, where again, Rabbi Yochanan will hold that it's also Bahamah, and Rosh Lakish will hold it's Mutter.
What about Avodah Zarah Bishnim in the Beit HaMikdash?
If you're shechting Hashem over the Zara Bishnim, obviously it's going to be also Bahanah regardless. Obviously, yeah. If you're not shechting the Korban in the Beit HaMikdash, then it's also Bahanah anyway. It's Chulin Shenishkutu Bahazara, if nothing else. But
you're talking about Hashem Avodah Zarah, chutz for the time. Since there's no tie from one to the other, it is...
So therefore he holds it with Mutter. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds, Yafin and chutz mitnim, we'll learn what happens outside the Beit HaMikdash from what happens inside, and within the Beit HaMikdash itself, whether we're talking about pigul, or whether we're talking about shalom l'shma, either way it'll be possible. So all three cases, I'll say, will be offered.
Okay.
So we'll continue tomorrow. That's the Shem. We'll discuss further the pros and cons of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's opinions. We'll bring Brisas to bear. The halacha as usual is like Rabbi Yochanan.